Wonderful. You may be comfortably seated, and thank you so much for coming out tonight to worship. I want to welcome you to SPA. If you're a guest with us tonight, a special welcome to you. If you received a bulletin, you'll see that there's a little sheet that you can tear off there, and we'd love it if you just let us know who you are. And in a few moments, we're going to receive our tithes and offerings. But as our guest, I don't want you to feel any obligation to put money into the offering plate. Just want to say to our church family, I love this season. We're starting. We had our great fall kickoff this morning, and so happy that you're here tonight. Just want you to, if you have any new information, there's an insert in the bulletin called Family Files, and if you've changed your address, changed your email, anything like that, please fill that out, put that into the offering plate so that we can update our files. Also, if you're new to SPA, would you please fill that out too so that we can include you in our files that we have so that we'll be able to correspond with you. Appreciate that. You'll see also on that tear sheet in the bulletin, you can, if you have a prayer request, you can fill that out, put a prayer request in, or a praise report. Let us know how God has answered prayer. I'm excited about missions tonight, and Pastor Zoa, Brother Zoa, where are you? There you are. Come on up here. This is so nifty. I was sharing with the pastors in my office just before the services we were praying together. I was sharing that, give this brother a hand, would you? He's a good man. Loves Jesus. I was sharing with him, you know, I think when we get to heaven, I think this is going to happen. Now, we have a little bit of an understanding of the things that we do individually, the things that we pray for individually, and even corporately as a church, we have a little bit of an understanding of the 23 missionary families and agencies that we support. We know that we're supporting them. We're familiar with their work. We pray for them. However, the thing is, when we pray, when we just intercede, and especially when we pray in the Holy Spirit, when we pray maybe sometime at night, we feel a burden, we just begin to intercede. We really don't know who we're praying for. And I was sharing with these men and the others that were in the office, I was saying, I think when we get to heaven, God's going to show us a movie. He's going to show us a movie, of course, of the things that we knew about, you know, what he did. But he's also going to show us a movie of things we didn't know about. Now, when I was going to Bible school, I went to Bible school with a guy named Colin Gregg, who pastors the Sherwood Park Church right now. And then Colin and I pastored together for a little while. And as we were pastoring together in Sudbury, then Colin went on to plant a church where?
In Zimbabwe, Bulawayo.
And that church was called?
City Pentecostal Assembly.
And I want your wife to come up too. So here's I'm talking to these folks in the foyer. This is kind of nifty because this is my buddy Colin, who I pastored with, who went to, you know where Bulawayo is, right? It's just past Sherwood Park over there, right? And so what happened? And help me on your name again. Are you freezing? We're going to warm you up right here in the church. Hallelujah. From Bulawayo, Africa. Now, what happened to you at City Pentecostal Church in Bulawayo, Africa, when my buddy Colin Gregg was pastoring and preaching?
I gave my life to Christ. So I gave my life to Christ under his ministry.
And I said, wow. I said, miracles still happen. Somebody got saved under Colin Gregg's ministry. I can say that because he's my buddy. He's my friend. And what did you do in City Pentecostal Church?
I met this woman and we got married. I was a youth pastor for just over 6 years, just with Colin Gregg.
Isn't that fantastic? God bless you guys. And so this is what I love about missions. You know, we reach out all over the world. We do things. And I always say to our board, of course, we want to you know, do what we're doing in our church, like we're doing this media upgrade and the sound upgrade. We want to do what we're doing to support ministries here. But we also want to bless missions agencies that, like, it's not about us. It's about the Great Commission. It's about growing the kingdom. And I thought that was so nifty just to meet you. And listen, folks, to let you know that when we invest in the global kingdom of heaven, that when we sacrifice, not building our own kingdom, not making our own name great, but we sacrifice supporting people that we know have been called by God. God does amazing things like that. And so we're going to hear some amazing stories tonight from Julius in just a little bit of time. But why don't we worship the Lord by giving? Ushering team, please come. We're going to wait on you tonight for the Lord's tithe, your offerings. If you've got an update for the family files, you can put it in there. If you've never been baptized, if you're a believer in Jesus, but you've never been baptized as a believer, we're having a water baptismal service on the 23rd of September. And so you can put that in there. Let's pray before we give. Father, we're amazed at your grace tonight. We're amazed at your goodness. We know that nothing and no one has the power to save and to change except Jesus Christ. And we're going to hear about some faithfulness of God over in Village of Hope tonight. And so we're praying, oh God, that you'll just encourage our hearts. And now as we worship you with the tithe and the offering, I want to thank you for the faithfulness of God's people. And Lord, would you extend your kingdom through us as we sacrifice faithfully? I ask it in the name of Jesus. And everyone said together, thank you for your faithfulness in giving tonight. God bless you.
Beautiful evening. Thank you for coming out. It's good to see so many beautiful faces in one place. It's such a privilege to be here. We've been looking forward for this day. And thank you so much, Doug, for making this possible. Folks, I must tell you that this church is incredibly blessed with a visionary, courageous leadership. And Doug and Wanda and the rest of the pastoral team. And the ministers that Doug said in the morning, that there are only five pastors, but lots of ministers. One, we want to say thank you so much for the work that you do for the kingdom. May God bless you so much. Why don't you help me appreciate your leaders this evening by giving them a round of applause. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. I'm also privileged to be accompanied by my colleagues, my local pastor in Tanzania. My name is Julius Kenya Manyara. I work as a global worker in Tanzania with the Pentecostal Assemblies of Canada. And Pastor Ahmed is my local pastor in Tanzania, and we partner together leading Mwanza Pentecostal Church. He'll be joining me in a little while to share a story. But we're also joined by a brother, Jean Ilunga from the Congo. He's a Bible school teacher. He's leading our Bible college in Congo and also leading a church there. And Pastor Zoa and Amina, you just saw them. Pastor Zoa is coming to pray with us at the end of this talk. And bless you guys for all that you do. And that God will continue empowering you and using you mightily for his kingdom. Greetings from my wife. She was not able to be here. The boys had to go back to go to school in Tanzania. So they sent lots of greetings. That's my beautiful family, my beautiful wife, Jade, from Ontario. Canada's lots of beautiful women. And I was so lucky to get the best of all. And together with him, that is our youngest, Josiah. He's the king of the house. He rules, the youngest king. And in the middle is Gabriel, who is 5 years old. He's the angel of the house until you get to know him. And Ezra, who is 8 years old, and is the priest of the house. They send their greetings to you. Tonight, we are so privileged to just share a little bit about what God is doing in Tanzania. We serve a mighty God. He does miracles. He still does miracles even right now. And we thank him for what he's doing in Tanzania. And before we get into the word tonight, just want to show you a little bit of a snapshot of what we do and how we ended up in Tanzania. Amen. Why don't you join me for a word of prayer? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your presence here this evening. We thank you for who you are and what you do to us. Tonight, Lord, we open our hearts and ask you to speak to each and every one of us in a language that you speak the best, in a language through the Holy Spirit, that, Lord, you are able to communicate with each and every one of us in the best way that we can understand. May we live here today with a testimony of your greatness, of the things that you have done We bless you and we give you glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want to share a few scriptures with you tonight from the book of Deuteronomy. I find the book of Deuteronomy extremely fascinating, and it's becoming one of my favorite books. And I think it was Jesus' favorite book. Some scholars call it the book of Jesus, because Jesus quoted a lot of scripture from the book of Deuteronomy. And even at the lowest point of his life, he quotes from where we are going to read, especially Deuteronomy chapter 6 to 8. He quotes three times. So that was a very interesting book to him, and it must have had a huge impact to him. Here we see Moses retelling the story that is found in Exodus, Leviticus, and Numbers, and giving a review of what the Lord has been teaching them. And this is the place where he gives his farewell address, mostly to a younger generation of Israelites, trying to remind them. And where we are going to read, we see Moses almost telling the guys and saying, hey guys, most of this, I'm sure they were a younger generation of Israelites that didn't know much. They might have heard, but probably they didn't know how much God had worked with them. And it's kind of telling them, guys, just wait. I know we've been waiting for the promised land for a while, but we have to settle a little bit and reflect and remember why we are going where we're going. But above all, we need to remember all the lessons that God has been teaching us throughout the history. So Moses reminds the children of Israel the faithfulness and the love of God, but also he reminds them of the wrath of God when they disobeyed. And this is what he said. He says, the whole commandment that I command you today, you shall be careful to do, that you may live and multiply and go and possess the land that the Lord swore to give you to your fathers. And you shall remember. If you have a Bible, you can just underline that. You shall remember the whole way that the Lord your God has led you these 40 years in the wilderness, that he might humble you, testing you to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. And he humbled you and let you hunger and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you know that man does not live by bread alone, but lives by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. Your clothing did not wear out on you, and your foot did not swell these 40 years. Know then in your heart that as a man disciplines his son, the Lord your God disciplines you. So you shall keep the commandments of the Lord your God by walking in his ways and by fearing him. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains and springs, flowing out in the valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley, of vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of olive trees and honey, a land in which you will eat bread without scarcity, in which you will lack nothing, a land whose stones are iron and out of whose hills you can dig copper. I have titled this message, Remember Your Journey. Remembering your journey. As human beings, we have a tendency to forget. We forget a lot. If you are like me, you forget. Have you ever walked into a room and asked yourself, oh, what did I come here for? And thank God for some of us who have spouses. They're good for reminding, especially wives. My wife is good in reminding me. And even when she sends me to the grocery stores, she gives me a list. Even if I'm going to buy one item, she will give me a list for one item. And I think it's because I've given her reasons to believe that I might forget. A story is told of two couples enjoying a nice summer afternoon. And as the afternoon continued, he turned to his friend Mike and said, hey, Mike, how is the memory clinic going? I heard that you've been going to a memory clinic. And Mike said, fantastic. I cannot believe the modern science of how to remember things. You know, they teach us all the modern things of remembering, and I now remember everything. I never forget. And he said, wow, that's very interesting. my memory has become so bad, I could use that clinic. What's the name of the clinic? And all of a sudden, Mikey's brain went blank. And I started thinking and thinking. And it's like, just remind me, what's the name of that flower that has very sharp thorns and a long stem? It's like, do you mean a rose? It's like, that is right. Then he turns into the direction of his wife and he's like, hey, Rose, what is the name of that clinic that I've been going to? All of us have forgotten things in life. We forget appointments. We forget anniversaries. You should never forget a wedding anniversary, though. But the worst of all is when we forget how God has walked with us, where God found us, how God has showed himself in our lives. That could be the worst memory failure that you can ever have. Forgetting the journey that God has walked with you. Because I believe that all of us, God has a special journey that is walking with us that is very unique to each and every one of us. And that journey is not just a journey, just a walk. It is a journey that has so many lessons, so many truths, so many things that he wants us to remember at all times. And Moses tells the children of Israel that you shall remember the whole way that the Lord your God has led you these 40 years in the wilderness, that he might humble you. So the reason for remembering is not just bringing things to memory. He wants them to remember the lessons. He wants them to meditate the things that God has taught them. Because I believe that remembering is more than bringing awareness to the mind. It's having to meditate deeply and focus. Lloyd, we can go to the next slide. You know, God wants us to meditate on the lessons that he has taught us. And there are three things I would like us to remember tonight, even as we share some of God's faithfulness in Tanzania and across Africa, that we have experienced God's faithfulness. And number one, that one thing that God wants us to remember all the time is that he is the one that provides. He does not want us to forget and think that we are self-sufficient, that all that we have is because we are smart and that we work hard. Of course, those are good things. Those are avenues that God uses. He enables us to work hard. He enables us to work smart. He enables us to have opportunities and to create opportunities. But the bottom line, he wants us to remember that it is him that provides. God made the children of Israel to fully depend on him while he wandering in the wilderness. His reason was not to punish them. He didn't want just to break their spirit or make them slaves. I think what God wanted, he wanted to deliver them. He wanted to save them from the spirit of self-dependency. He wanted to save them from the spirit that would have ruined them. And we live in a culture of so much self-sufficiency, self-dependency, self-awareness, self-whatever. But God wants us to fully depend on him. Even when everything is so good, we should depend on him as much as when things are so bad. We should depend on him when we have plenty, and we should depend on him the same way when we have nothing. That's what he wants. Because he wants us to know that he is the provider. He is Jehovah Jireh. We have no other provider other than him. And the Bible reminds us that God humbled the children of Israel, letting them hunger, and he fed them with manna. He could have chosen a different way of provision, but he chose to let them hunger. Maybe the physical hunger was just a reminder of the spiritual hunger that we are supposed to have as his children, so that we can depend on him at all times and say, God, we are here. Let us not forget. Let us not have that spirit that is going to kill us. And here are two things I want you to remember when you think about God's provision. When we ask God to provide for us, we need to remember that he might choose a different way to provide. When we ask him for provision of health, he might bring that health in a very extraordinary way. When we choose to ask for physical things, it might come in a different way. Number two, when we ask God for physical things, sometimes he says, if I give you that, it might not be the best. Let me give you more of myself. So when we expect him to give us a physical thing that we can see, he comes more and just sits with us and says, I think you can use more of me. So as we reflect on God's provision, why don't we yearn for more of him? Because if God lives in us, if we choose to follow him first, everything else will just follow us. And that's what we, as Village of Hope Mwanza, are trying to learn and apply every day. As we take care and feed over 400 mouths every day, over 70 staff, that we've said, come, let's do this thing together. You know, when you are leading a charity, and the pastors will understand, it's not like the normal business. It's a walk of faith. It's a walk of faith. So for us, with the 70 staff and over 400 children, and we have to pay the 70 staff and feed these children, give them education, give them nutrition, give them health care, with the faith that God is going to provide. And what is even more beautiful is when God chooses to partner with us in that provision. And I want to thank you so much, SPA, for saying yes to that partnership. When God said, I want to provide for Villages of Hope, and you said, here we are. Just use us as a pipeline. Just use us as a conduit of blessing. And as you continue to become a blessing, may God continue to bless you abundantly. And that's what we want to teach our children. We don't want just to give them food and give them education and make sure that their health is good. We want to make sure that they know the provider, that they know the one who created them, that he has good plans for them, plans to give them hope and plans not to harm them. So we want them to have a personal relationship with Jehovah Jireh, the one who provides all that they need. Sometimes we feel helpless because we have nothing to give these kids. We have nothing to give a child who had a bad beginning and all they know is that they were never wanted. We don't know how to give them their parents, the ones who are orphans. We don't know how to give them anything. But if we can introduce them to the giver of life, to the giver of everything, then at least we will have done something. So at Village of Hope, we help children get education, healthcare. If you can go to the next one. And we do all this because we believe that God has a plan for them. It's not that we have a plan for them. We know that God has a plan for the poor and for the needy. This is a testimony from Psalm 140 verse 12, that I know that the Lord secures justice for the poor and upholds the cause of the needy. All that we do is just be available. Join God in what he's already doing. We are doing nothing. All that we do is say, God, we are there. If you choose to use us, please, we'll be glad to be used as your vessel. And that's what we do every day. I want to give you a little story about Mwasi and her two little twins. At Village of Hope, we have a social welfare committee that goes around the community to work with the leaders and identify the most needy members of our society and try to find a way how we can partner with them. So recently, they found Mwasi and her twins, Crean and Cleophas. And when they talked to her, they realized that something was not right. They asked, how old are they? She said, 20 months. But looking at them, they did not look 20. At that time, we had an eight-month-old, and he looked bigger than them. He was more interactive. He could look in the eye. But these kids were not even turning their necks. They were extremely malnourished. So we started coming alongside Mwasi, a single mom who the father of these kids is not in the picture. She's struggling to keep herself alive, leave alone keeping her two little kids alive. And we walked a little bit with her. We brought her in into our daycare program. And we thank God that with a little bit of provision, a little bit of help, a little bit of a push, teaching her on how to take care of the children, giving her nutritional supplements, taking her to our clinic. In 6 weeks, Crean and Clovis had gained 2 pounds each. You never know what God has given you is capable of doing. You know, sometimes we want God to use us to change the whole world, but I don't think that's what God wants. He wants to use you to change just one person's world. And for us to be able to come alongside Mwasi and her kids, introduce her to God and say, God, please, if you can just go to the next slides and say, God, please, we are here. May you use us. Number two, one thing that God wants us to remember. He wants us to remember that he is the one who protects us. He's the one who protects us. Moses reminds the children of Israel, saying, your clothing did not wear out on you, and your food did not swell those 40 years. Know then in your heart that as a man disciplines his son, the Lord your God disciplines you. He's reminding them, he's saying, it's not because you knew how to walk nicely, that's why your feet didn't swell. It's not because you knew how to take care of your jackets. I know some of you will say, I have a suit from 50 years ago. That's different. I know you do. But yours is probably packed in 2 bags and kept in a closet. These guys wore theirs every day and they never tore. God is saying, that was my protection. It has nothing to do with you. And at this point, I'd like to invite my pastor, Hamed, just to share a few stories, just one story about God's protection over one of our little kids that we've been working with.
Thank you. Good evening. Amen. So this is Paul. Paul Oscar. He's sweet, isn't he? Sometimes you wish they would stay that way, but they grow up. So Paul was born in one of the biggest hospitals in Mwanza, and the mom deserted him. And we all know that moms, maternal instinct, do not just desert a child. So there must have been a reason. So at 6 months old, Paul was brought into the children's home where he was able to, you can change the next slide, where he was able to find family, find love, find acceptance. And in such environments, you grow up fast. You can see he's already taking care of the younger children. And Paul went through school with many unanswered questions. Why? Where are my people? I met Paul 5 years ago when I went to plant the church in Mwanza, and he was just finishing junior high going to high school. And after he finished his high school, he was not sure what to do, and I was his pastor then. And at that age, you know, they figured out everything. And I recall having some father-son moments with him. Really tough times, you know, where you're helping a young person see what he needs to do. You can go to the next slide. And it was a moment of confusion, apprehension, reaction, and anger as he started becoming an adult. But by God's grace, he is now in college. He had wanted to do medicine, but he was not able to go into medicine. But he is now doing a diploma in pharmacy, and he's slowly growing up into a fine young man. The father-son moments are less now, and he's growing. He will call. He will seek counsel. He will even seek counsel about his siblings. You know, he looks at his siblings making choices that are not good, and he will call and say, you know, Pastor, I think so-and-so needs help. Please find a way of talking to them. That is Paul. He's growing up. You can change the slide. He's becoming so responsible over himself and over his siblings. Next slide. And he's even learning how to earn a living. Paul has taken up photography and other things, and he's learning to supplement his income. And he's just growing up into this responsible young man, full of initiative. You know, and I look at his life and I see God's grace. You know, I see God's grace. He's now a big brother, a mentor, and a young man full of initiative. You know, God says, even if my father and my mother forsake me, God will receive me. And that's the story of Paul and the story of many of us and the story of many others at the Village of Hope. Next slide. That is Paul with his photography. He does photography as a small side business. And then we have a young man called Juma. Juma is now 16. Next slide, I think. Yes, that is Juma. He's about 16 now. And I also met Juma 5 years ago as a small child. And just the other day, I looked at him and he was about my height. You know, they grow up fast. It's like you turn around and they grow a foot overnight. That is Juma. But with growth also comes challenges. And you know, when he was 15, 16, he just started developing behavior that is concerning. You know, he would abscond from home at night, jump over the perimeter wall, disappear, come back home in the morning, you know, with a long face. Mom should ask nothing. Rude. Just a lot of destructive behavior, moving with the wrong crowd. But about 8 months ago, Juma got involved with the church worship team. He just came to discover. And then there was an announcement that there's going to be some lessons on drumming and on keyboard. And Juma took up drumming. And it's like it was just this gift in him that was waiting to explode. In less than 6 months, he was already playing at the church. But apart from that, he's just turned around. You know, he started toning down. He's gotten more serious with the things of church. Before I left, we had a prayer meeting, our morning prayer meeting. We have a prayer meeting on Saturday once a month. And who walks in? Juma. And I'm thinking, Juma? You know, and in your mind, you're thinking, is this for real? You know, and he was there the 3 hours that we were there. And I've just seen Juma develop and have a sense of the fear of God and have a sense of godliness. So, and he's committed. He's a very dependable drummer now. And he's increasing in commitment to the things of God each day. So let's be praying for Juma. Let's be praying for others in his shoes. And let's be praying for Oscar. The Lord bless you. I think there's a clip.
Amen. We thank God for the people who say yes to protect the young ones. You know, God protects us, but he uses people like us to be the arm that can go around. Just 1 second. To be the arm that will just, you know, go around the young person. To be the shoulder that the young people can cry to. And I thank God for people like Ahmed, who God has sent to Village of Hope Mwanza, to be able to work with young people like Juma and Paul. And number three, we just missed the slide up. We are not going back to that. Is God keeps his promises. He does keep his promises. He has a promise for you. He has a promise for me. He has a promise for everyone. And those promises are going to come to pass. And that's why at Village of Hope, we never give up on any child, whether it is a child who is behaving like Juma. We never give up on anyone because God never gives up on you. Why should we give up on anyone? And I want to encourage somebody here tonight. Maybe there's somebody in your life that you were about to give up on. It could be a child. It could be a spouse. It could be your neighbor, the one who drives you crazy. Just give them one more chance. Just one more chance. And I feel that's what we did with Juma. There was a time we were like, Juma, we lift our hands up. But then I remembered my story. At age 13, even the local chiefs had given up on me because I was such a bad kid, and they had said, you are a foregone case. But one child from my grade 8 class, Peter, just walked to me one morning because they were praying at church, and my immediate neighbor is a church, and these kids used to pray loud. I never used to sleep from 5 in the morning, so I said, I used to throw stones into the church because it's an iron roof to just calm them down, and they never kept quiet. So I said, I'll just walk in and keep them, you know, just tell them a piece of my mind. And as I walked in, God arrested my heart, and Peter walked to me and said, we are just praying the living God here. Could you like to receive him? Peter saw something in me that even the elders didn't see. Peter did not give up on me, and I gave my life to Christ with my teenager friend praying for me. And look what God has done through a case like mine. And that's why a case like Juma reminds us that there are a lot of people that we are about to give up on, but God is not giving up on them yet. Juma, if you can go to the next slide, son, to the last clip. After 5 months of just playing around, I think he found a way of connecting with God in a way that we were not able to connect with him. God started speaking to him in a way that we were not speaking to him. The Holy Spirit still moves. The Holy Spirit still teaches. The Holy Spirit still does miracles. And he's all over here waiting to say, for us to say, yes, we are ready. When Juma said yes, things changed. And I believe that was the Holy Spirit that taught him. I've never seen anybody who can play like that after 5 months with no full-time teacher teaching him. May we all be at a place where we can say, Holy Spirit, minister to us. And as I invite Pastor Zoa to come pray with us today, may we all say that God, show us the things that we have not seen as we learned this morning by faith. Give us the confidence to hope for the things that we have not seen. And help us to be that which you want us to be.
Let's just stand together. Father, we thank you for sending this congregation to many places, to many parts of the world, including to Mwanza. We know that by standing with the Kinyamanyaras, they are part of the stories that we have heard today. And we want to thank you for Pastor Doug and his team for this wonderful work. We pray, God, that they continue to be a stirring of the Spirit inside of our hearts, that as we hear the stories like Juma's story, we still believe there is a life-changing God. And we thank you, God, for you say to us, go ye therefore. We go in a variety of ways, with the spiritual, with the social, with the physical. We thank you, God, that today we can hear the stories and say thank you for making us a part of the story. Thank you for SPA. Thank you for the work that's being done here. Thank you for the 50 plus people that they support in missions. We pray, God, that as they give, you will give back a good measure into their hearts, into their bosoms, a good measure of compassion and love. Father, we honor you, God, and we thank you for Julius and Jed and Pastor Ahmed. We pray not only for Village of Hope Mwanza, But we pray for the whole city of Mwanza, for the work that's coming in Bulali and all the other satellites that may come out of their ministry. May there be true transformation. We thank you for this wonderful evening. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, I'd like to ask our friends, Julius, my brother, and Pastor Ahmed, and Zoa, Brother Zoa, Pastor Zoa, to come and to stand here. And your wife as well, yes, come stand here facing the congregation. And then my brother, I'm sorry, I don't know your name. Ilongu? Hallelujah. That's pretty good for the first try. We serve a great and a mighty God. We're involved in a global, it's a global like thing of bringing the kingdom of heaven to earth. And this I know, we serve a great God. I want my board members that would be here and their wives and pastors and their wives to come and to lay hands upon our brothers here as we sing this chorus. And I want all of us now, I want all of us to begin to worship the Lord Jesus, because we're going to be laying hands upon these folks and praying for them in a minute. We serve a great and a mighty God.